Stories. If you know James, that is a lengthy list and takes a lot to get to the top of favorite story. I don't know of many who have more and more entertaining stories than he does. But this is certainly, I think we could all agree, up there in the very pantheon of the greats and one that is most earnestly and frequently repeated. It involves yours truly and James. It involves a certain conflict that shockingly came out in James's favor. It happened, if you haven't heard the story yet, that my father came home one day with boxing gloves and distributed them to his two boys, one of whom being 18 months younger, but far smaller in stature, took a healthy pummeling. And quickly decided that this whole boxing gig, at least when going up against the bigger and stronger older brother, was not at all for him. And James does really like telling that story. Well, James and I didn't fight too much growing up for that reason, because I would have been pummeled. I was a very late-blooming Swedish young man. We did have some, though, dramatic battles, including when we were ejected from the service, from the second row where Timo is. My father said, "Peter, James, please go to my study." We were being disruptive, and we went back there, and I found Old Smokey, the paddle with holes drilled in it for greater aerodynamic ability. That was applied to our rear ends at this evening. And my brother found my father's decorative machete that he had brought home from some trip, and we were chasing each other around the office. My dad was not pleased when he came in and found us in this state after the service. But in any event, I can tell you a scrum that I wasn't a big fan of. It was the wrestling match. The wrestling match was never really that attractive to me. The idea of being in this kind of very close personal space, of the training of wrestling, of the starving yourself of wrestling, of wearing the rubber suits of wrestling, all the stuff that I identified with wrestling, very little of it appealed to me. But that being said, we should acknowledge that when we come here to Ephesians chapter 6, there's a particular word that is used to describe the kind of conflict that we as Christians are engaged in. And it is that word, wrestle. Scripture says, Paul, at the end of this great epistle to the Ephesians, says to them, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle," implied, against what? Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, if we come to the concept of spiritual warfare, of being engaged with the forces of wickedness that are seeking to devour us, as we know the devil is, we need to grapple with this word, so to speak, wrestle. What does it mean that you and I are wrestling against spiritual wickedness? What does it mean that you and I are engaged in this struggle that could rightly be called and likened to a wrestling match? That is going to be the question we are going to turn to this evening in a message I'm going to title, "The Christian's Struggle." The Christian's Struggle. Before we get into that message this evening, let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we do thank you for the power of God, for the might, and the might that demonstrates itself in power that is ours in Jesus Christ. We thank you that Jesus Christ is right now seated far above principalities and powers. We thank you that our position is in him and with him at the right hand of the throne of God. So tonight, Father, we do claim our position in Jesus Christ. We ask for the leadership and direction of your Holy Spirit in our midst. We ask that the devil would be bound would not to allow distraction into our midst. I pray that your Spirit would be the one that is speaking through me and to us all tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wrestling, the Christian's struggle. Let's understand, first of all, here, the parties to this struggle. The parties to this struggle. Paul says, we wrestle not. And who's he speaking of? He's speaking of Christians. We are on the one side of this struggle. On the other side of this struggle are, as he calls them, principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, maybe some of you have seen in a kind of boxing match or a wrestling match the kind of tail of the tape. If we were to look at the tail of the tape on this struggle, we would be overwhelmed. We would be entirely afraid if all we could see were a sort of external view of the tail of the tape. On the one hand, you have slaves. Yes, rescued slaves, but as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, we ourselves once were were walking according to the course of this world, under the power of the prince of the air. We ourselves were under the domination of the devil. Now we, having been rescued from the devil, are now in a wrestling match, in a struggle against these spiritual forces. You see, the intention of the devil here in this match is entirely against us. It is, as 1 Peter 5 says, to devour, to destroy, utterly to ruin. We wouldn't be at all overstating it when we say the devil would love nothing more than to ruin your life. That is who we are going against as Christians. One who seeks not just to hinder you, not just to slow you down, but to utterly make your life a living hell. That is what he wants. He desires to utterly ruin you. You have been plucked out of his dominion, and so now all his forces are aligned against yours. You see, his attention is not just your destruction, but he has assistance in these intentions. Scripture says here, principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. These seem to be referring to ranks or orders, if you will, of spiritual powers. Just as we understand that God has worked and has communicated in time past, has ministers, these spirits, these angels, these angelic beings that do his bidding, that follow his will, we understand that the devil, in the same sense, has forces under his bidding. These ranks, these hierarchies, these orders called principalities and powers. Literally, those words mean rulers and authorities. There is, in a sense, we might say that these truly have authority. You notice that in the book of John, the devil is routinely called by Jesus Christ himself the prince of this world. That is a word of authority. That is a word of rule. That is a word of dominion. He's elsewhere called in Scripture the God of this world. Scripture tells us that those who are opposed to God are under the power of Satan. He has authority in that sense over them. He has a kind of domination. There is a kingdom, as Revelation says, of this world. And yes, it is a squatter's kingdom. It is a kingdom that is not of superior authority. It is a position, it is a kingdom that is still under the ultimate authority of God. And yet, there is a squatter's rule, if you will. There is a kingdom that is nonetheless that which attempts to and does, in a certain respect, exercise authority in this world. Remember, Second Corinthians 4, when Scripture says, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not." This is the influence of the devil and of his forces. And now notice the seeming mismatch that we have. We have us as human beings against not just the devil himself, the roaring lion who goes about seeking whom he may devour, but against the entire satanic force of wickedness in this world. The entire course of the devil and the kingdom, his entire kingdom that he is seeking to maintain here in this world, the rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, friend, think about that mismatch from just an external sense. Think of it that we are engaged in a wrestling match against them. Now, I guess I would ask you as I ask myself, is that the way that I tend to view the spiritual warfare that I see during my life? Do I approach it as that sense of saying, I am up against a lot? I am up against a remarkable adversary. I am up against not just the devil, but of all his demons, of all his principalities and powers, of all the rulers and authorities of this world, of all those that are attempting to keep and hold those that are unsaved under the power and dominion and sway of the devil, attempting to keep them captive. I am up against them, and I am commanded to engage with them, and I am wrestling with them. Is that my reality? Really, if I could ask you to take one thing out of this message tonight, it is to see in a new way the reality of the struggle that we are engaged in on a daily basis. To come in a fresh sense by the inspiration, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit tonight, to have our eyes opened to actually what is going on in this world, to what we are actually facing in the forces of wickedness that we are facing. You see, we would even come more into the mismatch under these parties if we were to understand the tactics of these, of our opposition. Notice what Scripture says, that under the tactics of these of this wicked one, we are seeking to withstand, in verse 11, the wiles of the devil. Literally, that word means the methods, the schemes of the devil. Do you know the devil has all kinds of schemes against Christians? Now, if you are a wrestler, if you are any kind of person who engages in any kind of sporting event against another person, you know what a scouting report is. We used to have them in basketball. And our tactics would change depending on the team that we played. Our high school coach would come in and we'd say, all right, this team, they're not very good shooters, and so we're going to do this defense, but you got to guard that guy. Number 42 is a really good shooter. You can't let him catch and shoot from the three-pointer. And so our strategy would be for this. But then when we'd play this team, the strategy wouldn't be entirely changed. Oh, they shoot unbelievably. We have to play this defense, and we have to make sure we're watching out for this particular activity. The scouting report changed, and the method, the scheme changed based on the opponent. The devil's no different. If you don't think the devil, by watching you and understanding you, doesn't have any idea where your weaknesses are, where your weak points are, where the areas you are likely and prone to fall in, you are missing it. The devil is on the prowl, and his schemes, his methods that we are called to resist are those that are tailored to you and that are tailored to me, that are tailored to everyone that he is going out to seek to devour. And not only are there these schemes that we don't even necessarily know, that we don't even necessarily have this kind of insight to, but for the work of the Holy Spirit, there's not only that, but then we say here in under the shield of faith, we see that there are fiery darts that are coming our way. Fiery darts would have been the most dreaded weapon, I suppose, of that day. It said not only that these darts would be fired, they would be literally tipped so they would be burning, but the idea of the battle was not just to hit people and kill people, but by sending these fiery arrows through the air to create confusion, to create chaos, to create fear by seeing these flaming arrows flying through the sky. Now the devil is the one who sends his fiery darts in your direction, in my direction. Friends, this is what we are up against. And it is not to be taken lightly. It is not to be thought of when we wake up in the morning and go utterly oblivious to the forces that are against us. No, we have an adversary. We have a foe. The parties that we are engaging in are fierce. But we need to see, secondly, not just the parties that we are up against, but the purpose of this match. We've already looked at the devil's purpose. His intention is to destroy you utterly. But the point I want to make here is that the devil's strategy is to oppose, is to resist. What is he trying to resist? He's trying to resist the work of God. Do you know the way that you can avoid as much of the devil's work in your life as you want, as you might care to? Just don't do God's work. Don't march forward for the cause of Christ boldly to seek to recover those who are under the devil's dominion. Why is it that in the times often of our greatest spiritual victories do we see the greatest opposition and the greatest pushback by the devil and his forces? It's because he's not dumb, because he has methods, because he has schemes. We've often seen it and we've discussed people, young people at this church who have been baptized. And it seems like not long after they are baptized and stand up publicly right here in front of you, as some, Lord willing, will do on Easter Sunday, to say, I am following Jesus Christ and I'm going to battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, that the devil brings these temptations and these trials and brings upon them this hot spiritual warfare. Are we prepared to assist them in this kind of battle? The devil is oppositional, which is why we see in Scripture, when Jesus came to earth, we see such a remarkable overflow of demonic activity. You see, we even just read it recently this week in the book of Luke chapter 4, when Jesus is going out doing miracles, and what are the devils doing? They're suddenly all around him. They're suddenly trying to diminish his work, to hinder his work. They want to say, hey, this is the Christ right here. This is Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Jesus said, no, be quiet. Have you wondered why Jesus told the demons, be quiet, don't tell anyone who I am? Have you ever wondered that? Well, think about it in a wrestling match. Think about it in any fight. Think about it in any kind of conflict that you're having. The one who wins is typically the one who is setting the agenda. The one who wins is the one who is successfully exercising his scheme, his method on the other party. And you know what the devils would love nothing more to do and what they hope to do with Jesus Christ? They hope to thwart him by fighting on their territory. And Jesus said, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We're going on my agenda. We're going on my ground. We're going on my say-so. Now, this tells us something I think very important that we need to understand about the Christian warfare. Because the devil's warfare against us is resisting the work of God through us, we need to see that our resistance of him is not seeking out the devil wherever we can find him and doing battle against him. We are to follow Christ by going to the subjects of the devil. And as soon as we go and engage with the subjects of the devil, those who are under his kingdom, those who are under his dominion and under his sway, and as long as we go to them and are preaching the gospel to them, oh, the devil's going to howl. The devil's going to come and oppose. He is going to strike. He is going to seek to attack and to devour. And it is that point that we are to oppose. You see, there are those, I think, who have an inappropriate, a mistaken view that they are somehow these devil fighters, these demon fighters going out like searching for where they can find the devil and take him on. No. Our job is to follow God's will. We're under his scheme. We're under his method. We're marching forward to reach as many people as we can with the cause of Christ. That's our calling. And you better believe it, when that's our calling, the devil's going to oppose. And when the devil opposes, our purpose is to what? Stand. Notice that's what Scripture says is our goal here. Put on the whole armor of God, verse 11, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And Scripture says in verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand." Now, this is very important. The devil's attack against you is intended to slow down your ability to attack his kingdom. And what he wants for you is to be knocked off of your pace, knocked off of your feet, knocked off of your balance in this fight, knocked off in this engagement, so that you are hindered in your work for the cause of Christ. And so Paul says to his people, what I am calling you to, what I'm calling you to, Ephesian church, is to recognize your purpose in this battle is to remain on your feet, is to stand, and is to resist. The devil, Peter uses the same language in 1 Peter 5 when he says that the devil, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And what does he say then? Whom what? What's the verb he uses? Resist steadfast in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. Don't give an inch when you are marching on the devil's subjects and he comes at the attack. He comes to seek to hinder. Don't budge. Don't back up. Stand your ground and engage right there. And then move ahead. Keep on going. You see, friends, let's not get distracted. Let's not fight on the devil's terms. No, we are fighting on God's terms. We are fighting under his method, under his scheme of going into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And yes, when we inevitably face that opposition, may we stand. That is the purpose to stand. And therefore, we see thirdly here a preparation. Who are the parties we are engaged with? The devil and his forces. By all accounts, this looks like a fantastic mismatch. The purpose of this is to stand, is to resist the devil's attempt to knock us off the purpose that God has for us. And we see the preparation. The preparation. Paul tells us what this preparation is. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Now we need to start somewhere very importantly here. We have to understand what our power actually is. We have to actually understand what is the source of our power here. You see, we are not defeated here. We are not overwhelmed here. We are not, in this sense, in a spiritual sense, mismatched. Because Scripture tells us exactly the victory that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has won over these same foes. Look over at Colossians. Keep your finger in Ephesians chapter 6, but look over at Colossians chapter 2. Notice what Scripture says in verse 10 of Jesus Christ. "And ye are complete in him, which is the head." That means the authority. That means over. That means dominant of all principality and power. "In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Now look at in verse 14. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled." The word means disarmed. Utterly vanquished. "Principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Jesus said in John chapter 12, he said, "Now is the prince of this world judged." At his death, on his cross, the principalities and powers were vanquished. There was a triumph that was made over them. And Paul, what he wants us to see is that these principalities and powers that are against us in our spiritual walk are subject to the dominating power of Jesus Christ. It's why he says in Ephesians chapter 1, look back there. He wants the eyes of our understanding, verse 18, to know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now look at this. far above all principality and power. We've already seen that. That's who we're going up against. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. That's why Peter says in 1 Peter 3 that all angels and authorities are made subject unto him, have been put under him. This means these angels and authorities, these demonic forces in Ephesians 6 and verse 12. You see, the wonderful glory of the wrestling match that we are engaged in against the devil and his forces is that our Lord has already defeated them. Incidentally, that's why our first wrestling match is not against the devil. It is going after his subjects, because the devil's already been defeated. He's already been judged. His judgment is sure. We are going after the one whose judgment is not sure yet, the one whose judgment still might be lifted by the saving power of Jesus Christ. We are going out into these communities to try to rob as many as we can, if you will, from the devil's clutches. That is our mission. That is our purpose. You see, the preparation that we have is, first of all, to recognize the power that is available to us in this battle. The same conquering power that we have access to because Jesus Christ is in us and we are in him. Ah, friend, what a wonderful thing it is, as we saw, to recognize in the midst of our struggle that Jesus Christ is above these powers, is above these forces, and that our power be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might allows us to engage in the battle. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Friend, are you living in that reality? Are you living in the reality not only that the devil and his forces are opposed against you, and that day after day we can and should be expecting their engagement with us if we are following the work of God as he has called us to? Not only that reality, but the reality that Jesus Christ is conquering, that he is triumphant over these very forces, and the power that we have in him allows us to be victors. As Scripture says, we are overcomers. We are overcomers over the world, the flesh, and the devil because of the great work of God that has happened in us. But this preparation is not just on what we understand, but there's something practical that we are called to do here. See what Paul says here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. And we're not going to go through every one of these separate pieces of armor and the whole panoply, as that word means, the entire armor of God. But I would just have you on your own time notice how they're all related to God's work in us, and they're all related to the power that he wants to work through us. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, the great work that Jesus Christ has come to accomplish in us, your feet shed with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith. Faith in what? The nature and character and promises of who God is our protection in this battle. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Friends, this wrestling match is one of utter and complete reliance upon power that's not yours. Utter and complete reliance upon tools that God has gifted to us precisely for this purpose. You see, this is what the spiritual warfare is all about. Yes, we are wrestling. Yes, we are engaged. And yet the only engagement that can be successful is the engagement of his purposes done by his means. Is that the reality of our spiritual warfare? But I want to highlight one additional preparation. Scripture says here in verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all. I remember one of the most intense workouts, maybe the most intense workout of my life. I was a senior at school down in North Carolina. I tried out for the basketball team at this school, and the director of basketball operations called me, invited me to come back. I worked out with the team for about 2 weeks, got dominated by these fantastic Division I athletes. And I remember these conditioning workouts we did in preseason. They were unbelievably intense. I remember one thing in particular. We would line up on one baseline and we'd have either 5, 6, or 7 seconds to sprint to the other side of the court. 7 seconds is a fast run. 5 seconds is a sprint, dead sprint. And the coach, they had a strength and conditioning coach, would just say, all right, get up to the line. He'd blow the whistle, get up to the line. He'd blow the whistle again. We'd sprint. We'd get down to the end and we wouldn't get a break. He'd either say, jog in place, and we'd have to just sit and jog in place, or he'd say, shuffle. That was the worst. We'd just literally have to shuffle back and forth. He'd blow the whistle again. We'd get up to the line. There'd be 5 seconds on the clock. Bam, sprint down. We did this for I don't even know how long. It felt like half an hour, and it might have been. I mean, we literally, these highly conditioned Division I athletes were dying. We're saying, come on, guys, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. Why was the strength and conditioning coach not even having a basketball in the gym to run these guys until they were about to pass out from exhaustion? Why were they doing it? Because someday they were going to be in the battle. Someday they were going to be facing their arch rival, and there were going to be 2 minutes left, and they were going to be exhausted, and they were going to be at the end of their lung capacity. And the question was, were they prepared? You see, what we need to do as Christians is to be prepared for what's coming tomorrow and what's coming next week and what's coming next month. You see, it doesn't do good to prepare in the midst of the battle. You have to be prepared before the battle starts. That's why Scripture says that we need to withstand in the evil day. Remember, we talked about last week, not every moment, not every temptation is a temptation from the devil. Not everything, believe me, your flesh is perfectly good enough to lead you into sin on its own. As Scripture says, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, so that these are contrary the one to the other. And yet there are seasons of great opposition from the devil and from his forces based on schemes and based on methods that without the power of God would utterly blow you back and push you over. And what Paul says to the Ephesians is, I've told you everything about your place in Jesus Christ, that you are seated with him high above all principalities and powers, that you would know the great power that he has worked in you, that you would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That is what Paul is praying for. He's been telling them who they are in Christ. He's been giving them the commands and the imperatives that they need to do. And now he comes down to the end of this book and he's saying, okay, I'm going to tell you one more thing. It's time to do everything you can to stand. It's time to prepare. It's time to look ahead to the battle and be ready. Friends, I wonder how often we are utterly blown off our paces in the Christian life simply because we have not done all. Paul gives us a sense of what doing all looks like. He tells us here in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As Jesus said last week, watch and pray, as we saw, that ye enter not into temptation. Many of our battles in the Christian life, many of these wrestling matches that we are engaged in with the devil, find their first victories in the prayer closet, on our knees, doing all to take on the full armor of God, to be prepared for that evil day when it arises. Friends, let's not think that we can sleepwalk through our Christian lives and be effective at opposing the devil when he opposes you. Let's not think that our wrestling matches are going to be won by our slothfulness in our Christian lives. Let's not think that we are going to prevail in the power of Jesus Christ under His strength and under His might when we are feeding our minds with things that are not making us more focused and more sober and more alert to the cause of Christ, but are causing us, as we saw in looking at idolatry this morning, to be more relaxed, to be more captivated by what the world has to offer, by being more lax. Friends, let me challenge you tonight. What's your prayer life like? What's your time with the Lord like? Are you doing all so that in the evil day, the devil will meet you with the full armor of God, strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, having put on all the provision that God has given you in Jesus Christ to be able to resist the devil, to be able to move forward with those feet that have been shod, with the preparation, the readiness to preach the gospel, to keep on taking God's work to rescue those from the devil's kingdom. Yes, my friends, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank You that we see the battle that we are up against in the Christian life. It's a real battle. It's not fake. And Lord, we see the intention of the devil to utterly destroy us and to utterly oppose the work of Christ in us. Oh, Father, would You bring us in to a new perspective where it's needed tonight? Would You bring us into a new reality of the opposition that we face? Father, would You reveal areas in our life where we are not doing all, where our armor is off, where we are unguarded? Oh, may we be prepared for the devil's forces, for his attack, even this week. Let's take a few moments and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal, to diagnose, to discern, to show us where we need to take the armor of God that's been provided for us. Yes, Father, we are not of those who are obsessed with the devil. Our calling is to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet we are aware. We are not ignorant of His devices. And Lord, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Oh, Father, may we use those mighty weapons. May we be equipped to do so. By the power of Your Spirit indwelling us, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.